This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Oh, it's so good to be back here again today. I am so thrilled and feel so blessed to be with you today. People ask me all the time, what is your show about, Sue? Is it about bugs? Do you talk about termites? Do you talk about bugs? And I say, no. This is a whole different deal. This show exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion? How about purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? How about connection? Did you know that when you are vulnerable, authentic and transparent and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another? This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. And it is a process. You know, I'm a goal-oriented person. I don't know about you, but I'm a goal-oriented person. And goals are, okay, you shoot for the mark and you figure out what it is you want and then you go after it. And how do you do that? Well, it's like the elephant you eat or take one bite at a time. So it is a journey, though. And sometimes I was so anxious and so I was driving towards the mark that I would forget and not experience the journey. And life is the journey. It's not actually getting there. We know where we want to go. We want to be in heaven someday. And we want to be, you know, sitting with our Father, and the Father's going to say, why should I let you in? You know, what have you done? And are you, you know, do I want to let you in here? And you're going to look at him and say, yes, and this is why. And he's already going to know that, but you're going to have to give an account for your life and what you've done with your life. And you were created for a specific purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? Have you asked yourself that? When people ask me that, what I say to them is, what are you good at? What is it that you do that you're passionate about? And then if it's God-related, if it's something where you're giving love or you're creating a faith or a hope, then that's something that God wants you to pursue. God wants you to pursue him first and then love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says when you do those two things, everything else works out. So today we are going to talk to a person. He's only 26 years old. His name is John Rowe. And I'm going to give you a little background on him. Because, you know, this guy, I drove here today with him. He was gracious enough to drive me because I can't drive still. And I look forward to these moments of asking someone for help now, which before was not something in my nature. I was not good at asking people for help. And now I'm being forced to have to. And I know that there's a reason for that, and it's part of my journey right now, and it's life lessons. But I want to tell you about John a little bit because I think you're going to be very interested to hear his story. People also ask me about, you know, why do you do this show, Sue? And I say it's because, you know what, if God can use me, and I'm just one person, but if God can use me to change a life or even help somebody to make a decision that's going to change their direction or their path towards Christ, then I feel like I'm doing a good thing. And sometimes our choices, they cause sacrifice. There's sacrifices involved. And the larger the sacrifice, maybe the larger return, but not always. But we're called to do that. It's not all about you or it's not all about me. It's about what can we do to glorify God and to help our brother or our sister, maybe when they're going through tough times. And you know what? I think that each one of us just need to be aware. We need to be more present in our moment, and we need to be aware of what's going on around us. And I think when you hear John's story, you're gonna say, wow, there might be somebody right next door, there might be somebody right down the street that has a similar story or something that you're gonna go, wow, you know, I wonder how that son or that daughter or that guy down the street's doing. So without any further ado, I'm just going to say that John has truly overcome a lifetime of trials. Originally from Philadelphia, by the grace of God only, can he say that he has been victorious over obstacles such as homelessness, alcoholism, neglect, and being the child of a drug abuser that ended with him losing his best friend and at the same time becoming an orphan at the age of 19. Our Almighty Savior, Jesus Christ, has been tugging on this young man's heart for his entire life. Finally, less than a year ago, through the conviction of his sinful nature and the lifestyle he was living, he has fully surrendered all he can claim to know over to the King of Kings. He now makes a conscious effort to remain teachable. We all need to do that, don't we? While pursuing the true love of his life, Jesus Christ. Due to the shaping and molding of God throughout his life, John now focuses his attention on pouring out love towards youth and the outcasts of society, such as the homeless, recovering addicts, and drug dealers. With all glory to God, he continues on a daily basis to seek the face of the great I Am, in capital letters, encouraging, loving, and proclaiming the truth to everyone God places in front of him. John, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sue.
26 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds like you've been through a whole lot, more than any 26-year-old or 50-year-old should have to go through.
That's what most people say when I talk to them for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, just listening to just a little bit of your story, I would need a whole lot longer to hear your whole story. So we're going to try to keep things to Reader's Digest version,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to try to do that. And those that are just tuning in, you are listening to the Sue Freeze Show on KKLA 99.5. And if you have to get out of your car for any reason and you want to hear more, I'm hoping you do, then you can go into your house and click on KKLA.com and stream it on KKLA.com. And if you hear a message here or something that you feel somebody you want to share this with, you can also go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can hear the podcast later. I have lots of podcasts, been doing this for over a year and a half. And so we have all the podcasts by date and by guest so that you can share the message with friends, family, or whomever you need to. Also, we do want to open up the phone lines, and if you want to call in, you can do that also. So get your pen ready. The phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. So, John, we're going to get into your story a little bit. We have to do these little periodic commercials so people that are just tuning in can hang on with us. Tell us more about yourself.
Well,
where do I begin?
Yeah.
I think you should start at the year two.
Okay,
yeah.
Year two with some bullet points.
Yes. no pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, I was never really raised with a father. Some father figures were in and out of my life. I love to death my uncle. He's an amazing man. He was in my life. He's still in my life, but the father figure role, the actual father role, did not plan out as well as I would have liked it. At the age of two, my father, he actually ended up putting a gun to my head. Long story short, he, very abusive with my mom in Philadelphia and myself. We ended up going to, Alabama in order to kind of escape. He ended up getting out of jail, found us, came down there, and I'm just a little two-year-old. They say you're not really supposed to know anything before the age of five, but I remember this very vividly. I was just sitting on the arm of the couch, you know, probably watching some cartoons or something, and he walks in the front door. He was an extreme alcoholic, and he walks in with a gun, and he puts it to my head, and he's like, "I'm gonna go in the kitchen. I'm gonna kill your mom. I'm gonna come out here. I'm gonna kill you. And then I'm going to kill myself, and we're all going to live happily ever after in heaven."
Oh, my goodness.
So right then and there is like kind of the first harbored resentments, I guess you could say, subconsciously against heaven and things. Because I've recently became a Christian less than a year ago, and it totally changed my life. I love Jesus.
And that shows all over your face. Just when you mentioned that, your face just glows with joy. And you have such a beautiful spirit and a beautiful smile. You're just adorable.
Thank you. You're awesome too, Sue.
Oh, thank you.
my mom was just in the kitchen, you know, cutting up some carrots or something. I don't know. She was rocking out some dinner. So he goes into the kitchen and he puts the gun to her head and pulls the trigger. by the grace of God, he was such an alcoholic that he did not load the gun.
Oh.
She stabbed him, I think, something like 27 times. And she was an LPN my whole life. She puts the knife up to his throat and is like, I love you so much. You are the love of my life. But if you ever jeopardize my son's life again, there will be no more of you. I love you so much to where I'm going to take you to the hospital, but I'm going to be in the operating room when you're there. And if you so as mention one word of this, I'll kill you on the operating table. So she took him. He didn't say anything, got patched up. And yeah, last time I actually saw my dad, I was 7 years old. He tried to kidnap me from elementary school. I get called down to the principal's office, and they're like, this guy was walking around the hall, security picked him up, and do you know him? He claims to know you. I'm like, no, I have no idea, because I really did not necessarily know what he looked like. I, didn't talk to him forever. Coming up in my elementary school, I'm originally from Philadelphia. That's where I was born. And then I lived most of my childhood in Chester, Pennsylvania, which is about 15 minutes away. Very, very harsh neighborhood. Projects. It was the hood. It was the ghetto. I was the one and only white family that didn't move. So, like, I walked into school with I was the minority, and my best friends used to jump me 3 or 4 times a week, just because they could. I was being bullied and stuff like that.
Wow. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to John Rowe about his childhood, and now he's 26 and he's turned his life around, or the Lord has. And he realizes that through all of the trials and tribulations that he's been through, he realized, not at the time, but he realized that God had a hand on his life, that God had a purpose for his life. And now he's being able to see that. And I think his desire now is to glorify God in all things and to help others that might be going through similar things. It's amazing what happens, isn't it, John, when you go through trials and tribulations, how it makes you more empathetic and it makes you be able to relate more to people that might be going through similar things, and you have more of a heart. I don't know if we can say more of a heart, but we understand more about what it feels like to be in that situation. It's just like in my situation now, being disabled and not being able to drive, and how heavy the doors are when I go into a women's bathroom. It's just so different because I never realized those things because I didn't have to. I wasn't in that place. So all of us have been through things in our childhood and even now in our journey. And it makes us more aware of our surroundings and more aware of the need. And we can feel that need. We can fulfill, something that's lacking in somebody, or something where somebody just needs a smile or a hug or a what did you say your gift is?
Encouragement.
People need encouragement. And you are an encourager. It's very obvious that you are an encourager. And that's not your only gift. People don't have just one gift. But that is a very, very big, passionate gift for you, is to encourage. Were you encouraged much when you were growing up? You said that your mother was your best friend, mm-hmm. that it was just the two of you, and you went through all those trials and tribulations together. Mm-hmm. But your mother wasn't healthy. She wasn't well.
No, she that was the biggest part of my childhood was she was a my entire life, she was addicted to crack cocaine from a very, very young age. I was trying to get jobs and help supporting her. Even though she was a licensed practical nurse, it was hard for her to keep up with bills and things along those lines. But she was an amazing woman, though. A very, very hard time with drugs. Could never really kick it. She tried doing rehab multiple times, inpatient, outpatient, detox, and she ended up passing away at my age of 19. She was 43 at that time. Basically what happened was I was coming out here to California. I was still living in Cleveland, Ohio, but I was coming out here to California because I needed a change of location. I needed to start my life, grow up as a man, and my uncle was trying to give me that opportunity. So I was coming to visit. Came 1 year, came another year, and then the third year, I came staying out for like a month and a half, and I get a phone call from the hospital. Basically, my mother, she tried speedballing, which is getting high on crack cocaine, and then on the come down, she did heroin. She got bad drugs, and you know, she knew something was wrong, so she ended up walking out of the house, completely passing out in the middle of a major intersection. The ambulance came, picked her up. Then I got that phone call. She became a vegetable, and it was all because of drugs. That's where the neglect came in, was because she felt I felt a lot of times she loved the drugs more, and I was completely alone, lost. I reverted back to video games. I started selling drugs.
At the age of 8, you said you were selling drugs to just help pay the bills.
Yeah, originally, yeah. Then I once I really found out what was going on with my mom, felt kind of convicted. So that's kind of like a little injection of Jesus through, right. You know, at a very young age,
yeah,
when I reflect.
How old were you then when you felt that there was that, when you stopped?
Oh, it was probably immediately after, probably another year or so, I would say. But then I fell right back into it as I grew older. That's what I reverted back to, because that's what I knew. Mm-hmm. From coming from the streets, that's what I leaned on, mm-hmm. was to make money by selling drugs. So she ended up catching a common cold. We had to put her in a nursing home. And she ended up catching a common cold, and all of her organs started to shut down. And when I, I was the next of kin, no husband, no other children.
So you were the one that had to make that tough decision.
Yeah.
And you said that she, 6 months before that, had mentioned to you that if she was ever on it. So she actually had a premonition, or maybe thought ahead and realized this was the road she was going down. And so she was letting you know ahead of time she did not want to be the burden. And she had told you that she did not want to be kept on it, so to pull the plug.
Exactly.
And so you did that. And I asked you on the drive, where do you think she is now? And you said heaven. And you told me the reason was there was a very special lady that went to her.
Yes.
And you're saying you want her on the show, so she'll probably be on the show.
Yeah.
And that she was brushing your mom's hair, and she could tell that your mother was totally coherent in, mm-hmm. in the best way she could. And she walked her through the sinner's prayer, and that there's a reassurance for you to know that your mother is there, because she did accept Jesus and she died the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really wonderful. So what's the message in that for people listening? What do you think the message is for people listening that have maybe people, you know, I don't know. Is there something there that you feel that you could tell people about that?
Well, it's so funny because we all want stuff done on our time always. And but God may not be on our time, but he is always on time, whether it's the very last string or it's an immediate answer to a prayer. And the putting your faith in Jesus 100%, truly surrendering, is really probably the biggest and most important message. But there's a lot of little ones, too. You have to apply the things that you have learned in your life, the experiences that you have gone on, that has gone on in your life, that God has shaped and molded you and created such an amazing person, each and every single person out there. You have to be able to relate it to someone else that might be in your presence. God takes you through these events and this journey, as you said at the beginning of your show. I love that also, just to let you know, because it is a complete journey. But on a journey, you don't usually take that journey alone. You don't usually set out on a 50-year-long hike by yourself, with no food, with no water. And God prepares you for all that. God is that food. Jesus Christ is that water, that living water, as the Bible tells us. And so when he shapes and molds us, when we come along someone else on our journey, that, you know, for me personally, for someone who is above the age of 18, you could say, but not old enough to be considered an adult, to become a complete orphan. I mean, that's someone I completely relate to, someone that is trying to deal with drug recovery and alcoholism. For someone's trying to deal with homelessness, that's someone I can relate to. And it's I think that's the biggest message, is the Bible doesn't just want us to read the Bible. God's word isn't like, hey, read it. I mean, that's what the Pharisees did. They knew the Bible in and out. Not the Bible, but scripture. They knew scripture in and out. And it's about that application. Like, where do you go after you read Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission, you know, to go and make disciples of all nations? What, do you just read that? And it's like, okay, yeah, this is an inspired word of God, and he's telling me to go make disciples of all nations. So I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go to the movies, you know, $3 theater because I'm broke. So no. Like true discipleship, that's walking with someone. That's being hand in hand with someone, not just calling when it's convenient for you. That's answering the phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning when, you know, they're going through detox because they have 2 days clean. And their mind is racing, and they're super anxious and depressed. And then they get 2 hours of sleep, and they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning completely depressed, feeling so alone, because they might not necessarily have that fulfillment of God in their heart. He's tugging and tugging on them, and he's trying to use you. So why won't you let him use you? Like, make that disciple. Walk with that person. Truly be in that person's life when it's the most convenient for you. God's word tells us that if we walk by and see a person that is hungry, that does need food or water, and we don't do anything, and how many times do we walk past the homeless? Jesus says, that is himself. That is me. If you walk by them, you did not feed me when I was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You did not give me water when I was thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not know you. So, I mean, true discipleship, that's a big passion of mine. And I find that in all aspects of my life because of my past. Like the homelessness, like because of my mom's drug abuse, I stayed in crack houses. I stayed in women's abuse shelters when she wasn't even being abused. Stayed in missions, literally stayed on cardboard boxes, fighting, fist fighting for me and my mom at like 10 years old for a piece of a heater vent on the street. So when I like I go down to Skid Row nowadays, and because the homeless is huge, you know, very huge population, and I help out the Dream Center, and I love the homeless down there. They're so amazing. Just to sit down and talk with them, just for them to hear your voice and to know that you are truly listening to what they have to say, because they just want their story to be told too. Just
every
like
person has a story, don't they?
They do.
And you know, it's amazing, but I find that to be such a blessing being on the show, because you get to know people on a different level, because I am searching and I want to hear the story, because I want to talk about the story, because I want the message to get out that no matter what you've been through or no matter what you're going through, there is a light at the end of that tunnel, and the light is Jesus, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, it's like no matter what we've been through, because I've been through a lot too, you know, and I listen to your story, I'm thinking, man, mine's nothing, but mine's something. But yours is, wow, you know, you've been through a lot. And I'm amazed that through all of that, you know, your life could have turned out so, so different, couldn't it have, John?
You
said you were arrested, but you were never put in jail.
Well, I was put in jail, I wasn't like prison. I was never in prison, but I was charged with misdemeanors from assault and battery, from disorderly conduct, from drug sale, trafficking, and things like that.
Yeah, but, and that could be warning. It's like,
it
you know, before you're put in prison, you know, it's like, okay, you got warned, you know, it's like getting a ticket, you know, we get mad that we get a ticket, but what if that ticket saved our lives? You
exactly.
know what I mean? It's like, you know, God's there. And sometimes we don't like some of the things that happen to us. And we ask ourselves, you know, did God make this happen? Did God want this to happen? Did he allow it to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is that, you know, things, even though things happened, if we think about it, anything that happened to us could have been so much worse.
Totally.
So much worse.
It could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it wasn't. So what does that say? It says, okay, God was with us, right? God,
totally.
You're saying now, you didn't realize at the time. And another thing you said was that you were born Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you did celebrate Christmas. You did celebrate Easter.
Hanukkah. Passover. Yeah.
Yes.
My aunt and my uncle, they were trying to teach me Hebrew at a younger age. And yeah, it was pretty, I mean, it wasn't like an Orthodox Orthodox type of Jewish, but it was definitely evident in my life.
Because I asked you the question, you know, when were you introduced to Jesus? When were you introduced? Because, you know, something was holding you, something was guiding you, even though you were surviving, it was a survival. Mm-hmm. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to John Rowe, who's 26 years old, who's been through a lot. And I know all of us have been through a lot. But the whole purpose of this show is to look at what we've been through or what the guest has been through to say, what's the message here for those that might be listening or know somebody that needs to listen, to say, you know, there's hope, and our hope is in the Lord. And the Lord created us for a specific purpose. Are we living out our purpose? And if our purpose is to be there to exhort someone else or to encourage somebody else or hospitality or whatever our gifts are, we need to work in our gifts. Are you, listener, are you working in your gifts? Are you there to help your brother? Because we're called. The Great Commission, love thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Are you, listener, are you doing that? Are you giving of yourself to that person next to you, the neighbor next to you, the child next to you? I learned later on in life, after I moved away from my house, I moved out of my house at 17 and went to college, put myself through college, and I learned that a young girl across the street who was best friends with my younger sister, she was being molested right under my nose, but I didn't know because I was across the street. But she was always over at our house. And I learned later that she was having this happen right under, I felt my nose, and how could I not be more aware? How could I not, even though I wasn't that much older, I still feel a burden there that maybe if I was more aware, if I just paid attention better, that maybe I could have saved or helped in that situation. So we all need to be more aware of what's happening around us. Just, you know, they say to bloom where you're planted, right? Have you heard that? Bloom where you're planted. It's like, well, okay, I'm not really ministering because I'm over here. Well, no, minister wherever you are.
Yes.
We are all ministers. Mm-hmm. We all minister to one another. We all love upon one another. Sounds like you're doing that, John, and I'm encouraged by
Thank
having you.
You
on the show, and I want to encourage the listener to
totally
to do the same, to be there, to love one another. The phone number here, if you'd like to call and talk to John or talk to me, is 888-995-5552. We'd love to hear from you. So from here, okay, you felt God, but you didn't really know that you felt him, or you just found out later that he was always there?
Well, being raised in the Jewish faith, and I always had a total... I was, you could say, spiritual. I used to call myself that. And, you know, I always believed in a creator, not necessarily biblical creation, but always believed in a creator and God, and that there was always something higher and more important than myself. But I probably got introduced. So I always had that. I always just thought it was spiritual and God, and didn't really know it was Jesus or Muhammad or whoever it was. And then that's where the convictions is. So when I reflect back on it, it was all Jesus, 100%. Like, I totally see, like, at that younger age, the woman that we were talking about, that about my mom and her, kind of brought her to the Lord at the end of her rope.
Hold that thought, John.
Yeah.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world. Termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Back again with John Rowe, and he's 26 years old, and he's been through so many things, and we're talking about those things and how we can use whatever has happened in our lives to bless others. It creates a sensitivity and empathy for those that might be going through similar things. And I've kind of been asking the listeners to please just open their eyes, open their hearts, and be used. Just ask God every morning when you wake up. You know, thank God, first of all, when you wake up in the morning before I get out of bed. Takes me a little longer to get out these days. But when I'm laying there, when I just wake up, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that I have another day. Thank you, Lord, that for using me today, and help me, guide me so that I can be a light in the darkness. And if we all do that, the Lord will guide us. And you know, it's so exciting to give. It's more, I feel more blessed when I'm giving than when I'm receiving, even though it's very nice when somebody gives me something. I don't know. There's something more. It's like double. I get a double portion when I give. And I know you will too. And I always tell people if they're feeling depressed, right now I'm kind of fighting that. I'm fighting a depression within my own thing because I'm not able to walk and not able to drive and not able to be the go-getter that I normally am. And so I'm fighting depression right now, and I can be vulnerable and transparent and tell my listeners that I'm fighting depression right now because every day I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk normally. I don't know if I'm going to be able to dance. And that's very sad for me, but it's so small compared to some of the other things that I know some of the listeners are listening, that they're going through. My burden is light compared to some of you listening right now, and I just want you to know that I understand that. But we all are where we are, and we're here for a reason, and sometimes we just don't know what the reasons are. We'd like to hear from you. If you have something you're fighting or struggling through, or if you have something that you'd like to share of how you've felt depressed or whatnot, but you feel the Lord leading you in a direction, or you even have a scripture that gives you strength when you're feeling low, we'd love for you to call right now and share that with us. Because you know what? When you have something that's pounding in your heart, it's the Holy Spirit saying, you need to share that because there's somebody else that needs to hear it. I don't know about you, but that's happened to me so many times, and I just love it when it happens. Sometimes I'm asked to say something when I don't want to talk, and I'm saying, no, Lord, choose somebody else, choose somebody else. And my heart's pounding, and it's like, no, I want you to speak right now. So if that's you right now, if your heart is pounding or the Holy Spirit is just pushing on you to speak up right now, I want you to call the number. And the number is 888-995-5552. And we want to hear from you. 888-995-5552. The producer, Melissa, she's ready and ready to and willing to listen to your story and get you on the air. So please call. Don't hesitate. You might think it's nothing. You might think that what you have to say really doesn't matter, but you know what? Somebody needs to hear what you have to say. So again, I'm going to prompt you to call 888-995-5552, and you get on that phone and call us right now. Okay, John, back to you.
Yeah.
So you were talking about children and how you've got a heart for children. Okay, so let's go there.
Well, I was talking about the injection of Jesus in my life.
Uh-huh.
And when, you know, at that age, I was around 12 years old, and this woman we were talking about came in, and I was the type, she introduced me kind of to Jesus, saying this, that, and the other. It was my best friend's mother. And
how old were you?
11, 12,
very impressionable
there.
Years.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very, very impressionable years.
Very.
Do we call those the tween years? Is that the tween years?
You could. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
but that was really the biggest, the first part and person that Jesus used in my life.
And what's her name? Let's go ahead and give her credit.
Auntie Dawn. I call her Auntie Dawn.
Auntie
Dawn DeFries. She's awesome.
Yes.
I love her to death. She's a little angel. I think she's listening right now.
Well, if she's listening, we want you on the show because I've heard a lot about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she would always bring everything back to Jesus. So, and it's awesome because that's what I do now.
Uh-huh.
But I was the type originally to just go and sit in the very back top corner of the church during service, fall asleep with my buddy. Then we'd do like half of the service, and then we'd end up going to the van and you know, doing music and just acting a fool as little kids. So back then I really didn't realize it and get Jesus, wasn't really interested in it, but you know, when I reflect back, I totally see him using her to make a huge difference in my life. And that's why I nowadays just have such a passion, huge passion for the 7th and 8th grade ministry. Like someone actually came into my life a couple months ago and just offered me an opportunity to help out at my local church to, you know, help out the seventh and eighth grade ministry. I was like, awesome. Yeah, cool. You know, really didn't think anything of it. Did that. And I'm just like, wow. And it made me look back on my life as seventh and eighth grade. And I'm just like, all I really, really wanted to do was to cling on to something. Mm-hmm. Between 10 and 13 years old, you want to be that leader, but almost all of us are that follower because you usually don't ever make a decision on your own. You're in a group of kids and you're like, okay, let's go eat pizza. All right, well, let's all go eat pizza. And that's what happens.
Right, that's true. We have a caller that's calling in. Pastor Clay, are you there? Uh-oh, I guess he hung up. Did he hang up?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, well, that's great. So share about 4 years ago.
Well, 4 years ago, I had a brain aneurysm and a stroke. Mm. I ended up in the hospital for over 6 weeks, and I was paralyzed on the left side.
Uh-huh.
And my people in the church, a small church of people from all over the world, a little international church, about 40, 50 people, they prayed. My family prayed. I prayed. And the Lord brought me through it. I can walk. I can talk. I limp. I have a little trouble with the left leg and left arm, but nothing much. And I do everything I always done. I still pastor the church. I've been there for 14 and a half years. And I praise the Lord. He'll bring you through it.
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes. My pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening and calling in. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. God bless you.
You're awesome, Pastor
Made
Clay.
Me cry.
Go, Pastor
That
Clay.
Made me cry. That's great.
Go, Jesus.
Yes. I homeschooled my son for seventh grade, and the reason I did that is because I didn't know. I remember way back, you know, I'm a lot, yeah, anyway, older than you, but I remember that seventh and eighth grade was really, really tough times because you're going from elementary to this other place, and, you know, they change the schedule and the classes and whatnot. And
no recess, sad.
Yeah, no recess.
So sad.
And things have changed a lot since when I went to school, but and children can be so, so mean. And if you have anything that's off at all, you know, I was super, super, super skinny. And people used to make fun of me. Oh, don't turn sideways. We can't see you. Or, oh, the wind's blowing, Susie. You better hold on to a tree. You know, I'm thankful now. But back then, it was just not a fun thing, you know.
Right, totally.
But people can be so mean. And the kids at that time are really mean. And so you kind of fit in. I mean, I remember trying to fit in. And
yep.
And maybe fitting in isn't the right thing to do. So,
no.
You know, that is a very impressionable time is basically what I'm saying. So, yes, it is a crucial time, and it's a decision-making time to where people can get caught up in things, even more so then than before that.
Yeah, very much so. And that's really why my heart goes out to them. A lot of people, they like to hang out with either the real young kids and do ministry with them, the elementary, even a lot younger. Because they'll cling on to you. They just love you. You
yes.
know what I mean? They
yes.
just attach. And then like the high school type of ministry and people love that too, because you'll really get onto like personal type of relationships. A lot of people kind of stray away from the junior high school ministry because they are in that kind of rebellious type of stage, but still looking to follow something or someone. I mean, when you look at God's word, I mean, you know, I mean, Jesus completely was anti-cultural. Like, for that time, he completely went against society, and he was such a rebel. It is so amazing when you look back on your own and you reflect on your own seventh and eighth grade, because, like me, that's what I want. I wanted to just cling on. And unfortunately, but fortunately, nowadays, unfortunately at the time, it was to drug dealers. It was to the streets. It was to fighting.
Because you want to fit in and you want to belong. People want to belong. And there's loneliness. This loneliness causes us maybe to do things that we shouldn't do, you know, just by being lonely.
Always.
You don't want to be lonely anymore.
No,
you want to be with somebody. That's why gangs are so, it's like a family.
Yeah.
And even though it's not a positive thing, it's a family.
They're structured.
They're structured where it sounds like you didn't have much of that. So therefore,
yeah.
you know, and you were also in survival mode without even knowing you were in survival mode.
Completely.
So we do whatever we have to do to survive.
Completely. Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of kids out there even now. You know, there is a mission field in other countries, but we have a mission field right here.
Everywhere
you know,
go.
You mentioned something about the Dream Center, and I've had the Dream Center on this show.
Awesome.
I visited the Dream Center. In fact, I took Daniel with me.
Love them.
And Tiana. And it was a wonderful experience, and they wrote a jingle for me. I haven't started using yet, but it was really neat.
Cool.
But, yeah, the Dream Center is an incredible ministry. But,
yes.
You know, I mean, here's a person or two people or whatnot that come up and say, here's a need, let's fill it.
Yep.
And then here's another need, let's fill it. And you know, sometimes we have to, you know, it's a God thing when you look, you come up with this idea that it's really not your idea, it's a God idea. But you have this idea and you're thinking, wow, that's way too big for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's way too big for me. But you know what? Nothing's too big for who?
God, never.
That's right.
Never. I mean, he created us. He created everything.
Yes.
You know, just
yes.
By speaking us into, I mean, yeah.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
So what else do you want to talk to the people listening, you know, that would give them hope? Or, you know, if somebody's feeling helpless or, and it, let's say it's in an arena where you've experienced,
mm-hmm.
okay, what got you out of those things? What happened that made you turn another direction? What is it that happened?
Well, basically what happened was, especially with drugs, because I fell hard into alcoholism. Hard. I mean, I was very prevalent into drugs, selling in drugs and using drugs, but I fell hard into alcoholism. And I would wake up, and because you were speaking of depression and things like mm-hmm. that, I would wake up, and I know that there are listeners out there right now that feel this way, because we all do. If you don't have Jesus, this is how you feel, guaranteed. When you wake up in the morning and you feel lonely and you feel depressed and you are just like, it's a void. It's completely that void that's in your heart, that's in your spirit, that's just completely inside of you, and you have no idea. You might be at the gym, rocking the gym out for 2 hours, have a great body. You might have a wonderful job, great kids. You might be 14 years old and straight A student. It doesn't matter. We all try and fill. I've heard it so said so many times, that God-shaped hole in our heart. And Jesus is the only thing that will fill that. I mean, if someone has not accepted Jesus and is still feeling that void, I pray for them. Like, my heart just cries and weeps for them, because I was so much and so hardcore into that. Because for me personally, I filled it with drugs and I filled it with alcohol. And every single morning, every night, I mean, it was all about alcohol all day, every day. And that's what I tried to fill my void in. Some people, it's shopping. It might not even be drugs or alcohol, you know? It might be someone else even holding your kids or your mother or your husband, wife, as that idol above God. And that's not good at all.
Right.
I mean, really the message is to lean on him with everything that you know. When someone hears something and it feels like it's specifically talking to them, it usually is specifically talking to you. So you should answer that. Go Jesus.
Right. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And we're talking to John Rowe, who's 26 years old. And I keep saying that because it's just amazing to me. I can remember where I was at 26. And yes, I had been through a lot. And at 26, I had already had two children, was married, and, you know, going on that different road. And I'm looking at him and I'm seeing what he's been through. And he's got such this joy in his face and whatnot. I wish it was a video. I thought it was, you know, I wish it was on TV instead of radio, just so you could see him. And, you know, the Lord has just, like, you know, gotten a hold of him, and he just loves the Lord, as we all need to. And it's, I don't know, it's reassuring. And it's also, it kind of reignites people when you're around someone. It's like that light. I heard it put this way. People say, why do you have to go to church? You know, why do you have to go to church? I believe in God. I read my Bible. Why do I have to go to church? And there was a pastor that said, think of it like coals. And coals, you light one coal and it doesn't stay lit very long. But if you have this coal and you put other coals around it, this coal will light up this coal, and this coal will light the first coal. And it kind of just spreads, and the warmth gets warmer Why? Because there's more coals, and they're all burning from each other. And that's what we are as Christians going to church, is that we have to help each other stay ignited. We have to stay burning coals. And it's not burning coals on your head, unless you need that. Some of us need that sometimes. that rude awakening is like, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. But on the whole, it's just, we can't be alone. You can't be alone. If you're alone and you're desolate, you know, the devil wants us to be alone. He wants us to feel like we're isolated, that isolation. But the Lord wants us to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you have to be present to love thy neighbor. You have to be in communication. You have to be connected. So the pursuit is to connect. The pursuit is to pursue God and pursue others. You cannot love somebody without pursuing them. I just don't believe you can.
You can't.
You know, you can be present and you can both be in a room watching TV and not say a word to each other. Is that a relationship? Is that communication? Is that connection? No, husbands, wives, it's not. If you want to connect, you've got to turn the TV off, or you've got to sit next to each other and rub each other, you know, hold each other's hands. There has to be something where there's some type of connection. So to connect, there's got to be motion also. That's another thing that I'm learning right now, is motion. You have to have motion. Nothing happens without motion. There's a time to be still and know that I am God, but there's a time when you want anything to happen, there has to be motion. So if you feel isolated, if you feel depressed, if you feel that you're just kind of stuck, you need to move in a direction. And it was said also that when you're feeling down, serve someone else. And then that takes the focus off of you and onto someone else, and then you can get out of your depression. For me, it's the unknown for me. I know God is there, and I know God's got a handle on me. I know that. But I also know that I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know my future. I don't know if my leg's going to be. I'm believing it is, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I have to be okay with that, and I'm really not. I'm not okay with that.
Well, a scripture that actually, I memorize scripture each week, and it's funny that you say that, because the one that I'm memorizing this week, it's awesome. It's amazing. It's Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Oh, I'm going to write that one down. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
And that's the Lord, see, because, you know, it was meant that you have that scripture in your mind right now to say it, because you just blessed me with that scripture. But I know that there's others that are listening that you've blessed too. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And there's a verse that came up for me, and it's Isaiah 46:4. "I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you." Mm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Awesome.
Yes. When I'm feeling really, really down, and I'm going through a hard trial and a bad season, one of my mentors, it was one of the very first scriptures that we helped, that we memorized together. And it was, I just love it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. It continuously picks me up. It's, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When you dissect that verse, it's so powerful. Our Lord, our Savior, wants you to be joyful always. So when you are feeling depressed, when you are hurting and about your leg and not knowing if you're going to walk again, you're struggling just with loneliness, be joyful. But right after, because that's extremely hard. That's really easy to say, incredibly hard to do. So what does he do? He gives you a tool right after that. Pray continually at all times. Pray without ceasing. I mean, it's just like nonstop. You don't feel joyful? Well, lean on him. Talk to him. He'll give you that spirit of joy. I mean, that's what he is. He is that love. He is that joy. They go hand in hand with each other. And then not only that, but give thanks in all circumstances. So not just be joyful and happy about it, but truly be thankful. Give him his glory, because he deserves it. We don't. We are disheveled individuals, and he makes us, he gives us that glory with everything that we do. And then at the very end, people are like, well, what is his will for me? What should I do? Well, he strictly tells you, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you want to know his will? Read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to be a blessing to many listening.
Been a blessing to me since I've been saved. It's really helped me out with withdrawal, detox, with relational problems, with work problems. I'm an electrician. I work in the construction field. Oh man, that you were talking about missions. Yeah, there is huge missions in the on the construction site. Each and every day, I have to put on that armor.
That's kind of funny because I see this picture of electricity lights. You know, it's like you're the light, you know, because you're an electrician. So what? You're turning on the lights.
Amen.
So you're turning lights into souls of those that you work with.
Yeah.
You're planting, you're blooming where you've been planted, aren't you?
Yeah. The light in the darkness.
You're
for
the
sure.
light in the darkness. You're an electrician. You're turning the light on.
Amen.
I like that analogy. I just got that visual.
There it is.
That's pretty cool.
That is.
So we still have a little time if you want to call in and tell your story or how you've felt down and how something's brought you out of being down. We'd love to talk to you. We've got 3 minutes left. 888-995-5552 if you'd like to call in. So we have 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
So, John, in that 3 minutes, there's people listening that may be struggling with any one of the things that you've been through or mm-hmm. other things for that matter. You know, mm-hmm. we don't know where people are. We just know that wherever people are, they don't need to stay there. It's not something where we have to stay where we are. We have a choice. God gave us a choice. We're not puppets. He's not going to snatch us up. We have to reach up. And we need to ask him into our hearts. But if we do that, he says he will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he will love us right where we are. We don't have to clean up first either. Isn't that wonderful?
I love that.
We don't have to clean up first. It doesn't mean you have to stop drinking. Doesn't mean you have to stop cussing. Doesn't mean you don't have you have to stop doing drugs.
Just go to him.
Just look up, reach up, and he'll be there. And he's going to reach down and he's going to hold you like no other. And he's got a hole in your heart that only he can fill.
Totally.
It's true. It's true.
It's very true. And that's the thing. And that's what was a huge encouragement for me and hopefully the listeners, whether you're a believer or a non-believer or whatever, is when you do have Jesus in your heart, it makes your life so much easier because you give him everything. You know, you're struggling at work or maybe you don't have a job and you're struggling with paying the bills. Put it in his hands. If you truly give that over to him, I mean, miracles happen each and every single day. You should expect to see that miracle if you're a believer in every aspect of your life. And I'm not talking about like getting your arm chopped off and having it grow back. That not necessarily, I mean, that could happen too. You never know.
Yes.
But not necessarily that. But just to walk into a room and for someone that you have no idea about to bring up God and you be able to share your testimony or something like that, you could just make huge impact in someone's life. And when you're feeling down, really just give everything. I mean, it says that, you know, the faith of a mustard seed could move a mountain. A mustard seed. All you need is just a little bit of faith, just a little bit. And you'll see those miracles. You'll see that mountain move in your life. And I pray for each and every single one of your listeners that they are truly encouraged by this, by you. I mean, you're a huge inspiration, like in everything that you do. And just that ride over here was truly amazing for me, too. It was very edifying, and you truly blessed me. I'm excited to see the rest of the evening, and I'm just super excited about life.
Yes, you are, and it's very obvious that you are. You're amazing, and thank you. See, that's just it. That's who you are. That's who you are right there. And I appreciate that, John. I'm really happy I got to meet you. I mean,
likewise.
You're amazing, and there's so much more that could be said here. But I think that we've said quite a few wonderful things. I have a little book here that I read every once in a while, and there's one here. It says, "Opportunities are seldom labeled." I always say, you know, whenever there's a problem at work at Ecola, you know, I tell my staff, you know, problems are opportunities. That's all they are. When we see a problem in our life, if we see problems at work, we identify the problem. We have to identify we have a problem. And then there's opportunities for improvement. So what are we going to do to improve in this area? And it's amazing. But the biggest problem is when people don't become transparent, like me saying that I'm feeling depression. It doesn't mean that I don't love the Lord, and it doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love me. I'm just being transparent. I am saying this is where I'm at right now. It doesn't mean I'm staying here, but this is where I am right now, and this is why. And I think if all of us are more honest with ourselves and honest with those that are nearest to us, has to be a safe environment. But if we can be honest about what's going on with us, that we're going to find that there's going to be more vulnerability and more love shared, because we have to be real. Let's be real with one another. What do you say, John? You want to be real?
Yeah.
Let's
totally.
Be real. Take the masks off. Yep. Let's take the masks off. Mm-hmm. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. God bless you all. Until next week. Have a great week. Be a blessing to someone, would you?
Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.